Hello, and welcome to New Covenant Conversations. This is a podcast where we're addressing the importance of the New Covenant and its relationship to our Christian life in both faith and in our worship. I'm joined by Stuart Elliott.
Hey there. Good to see you. Glad to be here. Glad to be joining you for our first podcast today and for New Covenant Conversations. In our inaugural podcast, I think it would be a good idea to introduce ourselves, talk about who we are and what we're doing.
All right. Thanks, Stuart. Yes, I'm Gary Elliott. I'm an ordained teaching elder in the Presbyterian Church in America. I'm a gospel minister. I've served in the work of the church for over 40 years as a pastor and as an educator. Recently, I was offered an opportunity to develop social media platforms and programs. And we're focusing on the importance, the significance, the biblical meaning of the New Covenant in the scope of all of Scripture. So this is a ministry of New Covenant Temple Foundation, Inc. So we're an educational ministry. We have very strong convictions and beliefs about the sacramental church and worship, and we don't take the place of the church. But we are a part of seeking to encourage one another on to love and good works, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And I'm Stuart Elliott. And if you haven't figured it out already, I am the son of Gary Elliott. And I am a layperson in the church. However, I was brought up in the church. I was brought up for a large amount of time under the pastoral ministry of my own dad. And now I live many, many miles away, but
too many miles away.
Yes, we are on separate coasts in the United States. But we, for the longest time, still took many opportunities to talk and call each other, and inevitably we would talk theology. And so that is actually a pretty significant reason why we decided to develop this podcast, because we thought, hey, we're already spending hours talking on to each other on the phone about these things, so why don't we hit the record button and see what happens. So you know, it's sort of a special thing for us and for me, because our main interest and central topic, central theme, is covenant theology, the covenant theology of Scripture and how it applies to theology and how it applies to the Christian faith and how it applies to the Christian life. And in Acts, in Peter's sermon in Acts, Acts chapter 2, you know, Peter makes that great declaration of the gospel. And when he rounds out that sermon, ends it, of course, his audience, his Jewish audience, is cut to the heart, and they ask him, you know, what should we do? And he says, repent and believe. For the promise is for you, for all who are far off. But he also includes something that's very significantly covenantal, which is the promises for you and for your children. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those significant covenant statements and covenant promises that is special because it's working itself out even right now, even right here, as you are passing along the faith to me and trained me, and now I've got my own family training them up as well. And so there are things like that I'd really like to hit home and pinpoint in the course of our conversations about the significance of the covenant and what we're about in New Covenant Conversations.
I think that's a great example, Stuart, and I think your point that we were having these conversations and have had them, well, all of our family life, and mm-hmm. now, as you said, you have your own family under the care and oversight of the church that the Lord Jesus has ordained for us. But these things are meaningful. It's not arid academic, kind of discussion. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people assume that, well, if you say theology, mm-hmm. but theology is the study of who God is, and God has given us his word that we might know those things that are most valuable to us and how we're to live out our faith mm-hmm. in this present evil generation or in mm-hmm. this world. Mm-hmm. And of course, we use generalizations that Scripture tells us about because we are confronted with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Mm-hmm. And we care about those whom we love, and the broader appeal of the gospel is to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we want to delve into these things that every believer might grow and be well founded mm-hmm. and be assured of those promises. That one of the important things to recognize is that the term promise is inseparably connected to the biblical theology of covenant. That's, you know, that's what the meaning of the mm-hmm. promise is. It's not just idle promises mm-hmm. or it's not man-made promises. So that's an overused word in our mm-hmm. culture, and I'm afraid that perhaps covenant mm-hmm. has become something of an overused word as well, because I see it placarded mm-hmm. all around. But I think really delving yeah. into Scripture and getting a biblical basis and consciousness of what we're talking about, I mean, what more needs to be said for the importance of this than recorded in the Gospels, Jesus' own words, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, mm-hmm. which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Mm-hmm. So we start with that foundation mm-hmm. as this is the most important statement, revelation. If I can say it this way, that as mediator of the new covenant, Jesus Christ brings the gospel to perfection.
Mm-hmm. That's significant.
And so,
yeah.
It yeah. is very significant, and it should get our attention to say we need to know about what this means.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. And as you were saying, it is not just a conversation for the lofty academics, for the theology professors, for the theologians and for the pastors and scholars. It really is something that needs to trickle down and be understood and grasped. For what it is, for the assurance it brings, for the anchoring it brings to the Christian life in any mm-hmm. walk of faith, at any point in your faith, the covenant theology of Scripture is something that ought to be central and anchoring for every Christian. I think that's the heart of concern that we both have, and what motivates us wanting to talk about these things, mm-hmm. and that's hopefully gives folks an insight into who we are and into what we want to do as well. So
right.
with that being said, let's talk a little bit about New Covenant Conversations, since it is a new ministry that has some different points of contact. So I want to direct people to the website for New Covenant Conversations. It's ncconvo.com. That's ncconvo.com, where you'll be able to find other resources from the ministry. So you'll be able to find blog posts, articles, and where the podcast will live. So you'll be able to access audio and video as well there. And as this is developing, you'll see different series posted on there, and then in conjunction with that, blog posts and audio and video as well. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's at NC Convo as well, and you can get updates there, and you can contact us as well and field questions or start discussions, those kinds of things. Anything that will get people talking about and asking questions about covenant theology and how it applies to all of Christian faith and life.
That's right. I have some thoughts about that, too, in terms of giving people an idea of what it is we intend and what we want to accomplish. So let me share some of that with you in reference to the purpose that we have is to appreciate more the overarching biblical significance of God's covenantal pattern and practice, drawing on the Greek idea of pragma in the creation and in the salvation of the world. Mm. As far as a plan goes, to elaborate on what Stuart said, it's to expound through the Holy Scriptures. We believe the Holy Scriptures are the inspired, inerrant, infallible, and preserved Word of God for us. And in time, we may elaborate some on that historic and orthodox view of Holy Scripture. The development of God's covenantal dealings with His creation and with His unique image bearers, originally, redemptively, and perfectly. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ inaugurating and fulfilling the new covenant and bringing it to perfection in the consummation. So that certainly is a matter for all of our faith, as we're told to look in faith to the promises of God and not just have our eyes upon this world and our life here. And then as far as perspective goes, this gets a little bit more into some of the conversations and some of the ideas and some of the discussions that have gone on historically over this matter of how do we understand, how do we apply the covenant, and particularly the new covenant in the development that is given to us in Scripture. So it's to offer refinements to the discussion of covenantal theology, interacting with terms historically used in order to sometimes ease tensions or to clarify. You know, the Scriptures use several words for to know, to understand, and applying wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so we want to understand, we want to know, we want to be wise, particularly in what God has revealed to us of such importance. Sometimes there are tensions and discussions and even debates. We want to be careful as to how we navigate those things. Mm-hmm. We want to look to Scripture and these theological words and ideas. We have a desire to promote a covenantal mindset, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, as James says, as wisdom from above, distinct from wisdom from below. Mm-hmm. So covenantal relationships to the decrees of God. How is God active? How is God involved? How is this not fatalism? Mm-hmm. And it encourages and feeds our faith rather than causing us to quail in fear in the unknown. Covenantal conditionality. That's an important topic, particularly as it relates to accountability for our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. Covenantal administration before original sin and then after original sin. Mm-hmm. And we do believe in original sin. Mm-hmm. And that's a very important biblical theme that we cannot ignore and we must come to grips with. Mm-hmm. This includes questions about grace and merit. Those discussions continue on today and are a part of ongoing dispute among Christian believers, and we don't want to focus on disputes. We really want to focus on edification, of building up the faith for the saints. So what is the covenantal relationship to the moral law of God? That's a huge application in various departments, in various relationships, in various ordinances that we find as we are faced with in our Christian life in this world. Covenantal dynamics related to creation ordinances. What do we mean by God's means of grace? Again, elaborating on what the Bible tells us about these things, the biblical revelation of covenantal development identified by names and descriptions. Often when we say covenant, one of the first names that comes to mind is Abraham. But then sometimes there's an attempt, I think it's misguided, to try to set Abraham against Moses. But I don't find that in Scripture at all. So by names and descriptions and the culmination of the new covenant for a new age, a new epoch that is revealed to us in Scripture, the new heavens and the new earth, a new name, a new kingdom, a new temple, a new inheritance. A new city. I mean, you just go on and on. I told some folks recently in a sermon, you know, if you want to get into this, just take a concordance and look up the word new and then follow some scripture studies through these references of what is new, particularly as it comes to Jesus and the new covenant.
That's all very good. And as you can see, that might point to and your description there, and you're running through the various points there might point to why, there is a great need to have these kinds of conversations about covenant theology and how it applies. So I think there may be, for most lay people, a little bit of apprehension, maybe even a little bit of confusion, because as you can see, there are a lot of terms, there is a lot of history, and it is as central and insignificant as we think it is. It is a broad, varied, and can become a convoluted topic. And so I think one of the things that that we want to do in New Covenant Conversations is bring that conversation down to people of and Christians of all kinds, all types, in all places, wherever they are at in their faith, because that's what Jesus did. You know, as you said, he with his 12 disciples, which we can very, very much identify with. We can identify with their weaknesses. We can identify with their bumbling around, with their confusion. But Jesus bore with them and brought them to himself. And the night before he was betrayed, or the night he was betrayed before he was crucified, he ate a meal with them and wanted to demonstrate and let them in on the significance of what was about to happen the next day for them. And he does that by signaling and pointing them to the blood of the new covenant. And so this is all of these topics, as deep as they can be, as maybe confusing as they can be, that really comes down to assuring every believer and bringing every believer into what Jesus says is the blood of the new covenant and the significance of what he's done on our behalf for our sin, for our justification on the cross and in his resurrection. I think that does, like I said, it brings something important up, which I think we need to spend a few seconds talking about, which is, why is there, in my perception, and I think just anecdotally thinking about this, maybe a lack of understanding or maybe even an uncomfortableness among general Christians with covenant theology.
Well, I think I think what you said, Stuart, is trying to recover or discover the meaning of Scripture. For example, the term testament and covenant have almost become separate categories of thought for many Christian believers, and yet in Scripture it's the same word. Of course, there's a reference in Hebrews to a more specific application of testament and will as far as a last will and testament. So I think there's some confusion that stems from that. I think there have been many attempts to try to systematize Scripture, and some people are perhaps wary of that and feel like it's imposing on Scripture. When we talk about how significant covenant is to God's pattern and plan, we want to validate that from Scripture itself. One of the things I thought of as you were just talking about the significance of Jesus' pastoral care and love for his sheep is that in Hebrews chapter 13, the benediction verses 20 and 21 connect the blood of the covenant and the everlasting covenant that Christ has fulfilled and established with his being the great shepherd. So here's some beautiful connections that help us connect the dots when it comes to understanding God's plan of salvation. And it assures us, that's one of the main things about the Epistle to the Hebrews, which is significantly about Jesus and the new covenant, is for assurance, for our confidence in faith, for our perseverance, and for our hope of heaven.
And I think those are points that it's going to be worth really digging into, but bringing them to the surface right now, I think, is helpful in showing, hopefully, the uninitiated Christian in covenant theology, but even reminding those who maybe are familiar and you know, comfortable with it, that this is the end goal here. These are the end points. It's not just so that we can systematize accurately. It's not just so that we can have all of our categories right. It is really for its application in the Christian life on very fundamental things like assurance and our knowledge of who God is and how we relate to him. And so that was another thing that you were kind of pointing to, was the way in which covenant theology, opens up a way for us to put the story, the whole story of the Bible together in a way that relates to each other, makes sense, and is applicable to our life in all areas of life. And I think that's that can be one of the very powerful ways that Christians can recognize the significance of covenant theology. Let's talk about that just for a little bit. In what ways does covenant theology really give us the ability to bring the story of the Bible together?
Well, because it's a unifying theme in Scripture. And God has given us the revelation that he wants us to know about himself. And the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are active in the world in which we live. That's a disputed point with non-Christian religions. Mm-hmm. How do we understand God's activity in our lives in the world, that it's not fatalism or some kind of mysticism, but in reality, how we live out day to day, believing, praying, trusting, having the assurance of knowing God personally. You cannot overestimate or overstate that. But we want consistency. We want that assurance. And Scripture gives it to us, but it gives it to us in a unified way. So one of the things that's wonderful to study in reference to the Old Covenant and preparation and God's dealing with, we said, individuals, even naming them at times for us, is that this is the way I operate. This is how you can have assurance. This is how you can know that I know you. I know you by name. I call you by name. I mean, that's what Jesus said to us, to have that assurance of the Father's love. And so when we see that progressive pattern developing in some of the most desperate times, in some of the most threatening, and again, even with those who sealed their testimony with blood, we have that record of God's faithfulness. And that's one of the main covenantal themes, because its promise is associated with God's faithfulness and God's ability to do what he says he will do. And he's proven that. He's shown that. It's documented for us. It doesn't tell us everything about who God is. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed are for us. And as you started out, Stuart, with Peter's sermon, for us and for our children, and also for those who are afar off. And in the new covenant, the Lord Jesus is breaking down that wall of partition that separated old covenant as they made the transition to Christian in recognizing in Messiah. Of course, that's what Christ means, the anointed one, recognizing in him the fulfillment of all God's promises. All the promises of God are yes, and so be it. Yea and amen in Jesus Christ.
That's so helpful and significant, because I think what many Christians struggle with is, how do I put it all together? When we're, you know, as Christians, I think we have that basic impulse that Scripture is important, that they ought to take it seriously, that's authoritative. Even if you can't work everything out, maybe you haven't had the training or the instruction, even if you can't work it all out, you know, theologically, we have that basic impulse that this is important, this is significant to my life and to my faith. Well, that's the right impulse. And but for many Christians, because there's some foreignness to the Bible and the way in which it was written and the context it was written in, it can be hard. It can be hard to put it all together. And so it really does take a little bit of training your mind to understand how these documents were written and what context they were written in and how the original audiences they were written to would have understood them. And we're saying one of the basic concepts and ideas that comes through in Scripture is the concept of covenant. And it's so basic that it actually serves as the unifying principle for the entire Scripture. And that might be a little odd to us today, because we don't think in those terms today. We think in very individualistic terms and very disconnected terms. And so I think that can be a roadblock for Christians to figure out what this actually means and how it operates for us as we understand our theology and applying it to our lives. And so I think that's part of what we want to try to do, is we want to try to highlight and demonstrate and provide a new way of seeing, a way of seeing that allows all of Scripture to come together in a cohesive story.
And the new covenant brings that together.
Exactly. The covenant brings that together, and particularly the new covenant. It's like the final puzzle piece almost. It's the final
good illustration.
Yeah, it's the it's the final foundation stone, I suppose, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, that's a good biblical statement.
Right, exactly.
The
right.
puzzle piece is a good illustration. I mean, how many of us have enjoyed putting puzzles together? Well, even when you were mm-hmm. growing up, you know, we had the puzzle box top that showed us the picture. Yeah. This is what it's supposed to look like.
Exactly.
But then when we started putting the fixed pieces together, and then when we get to that final piece and it's complete. So I think that's a really good illustration about how we believe that Scripture is cohesive. And how we are not hunting for our own pieces to put in there, but we are searching out, wanting to know what God has given us so that we can piece it together for our own lives of faith and worship. But more importantly, as you said, the foundation stone, the cornerstone, the keystone, those various scriptural analogies are what the new covenant and who Jesus Christ is. That's a thing that also is valuable to people because there's so many conflicted voices. There's so many strident voices, even across the Christian perspective. I know so many people are being fed on sensationalism or end of the world type suggestions, scenarios, prognostications. You know, I read a funny thing the other day that talked about how often they have to update the shelf in the bookstore about the predictions for the end of the world. And so I don't think that's helpful for people to be so tied up in that and so preoccupied trying to divine from Scripture these things, when what Scripture gives us is how we can live holy and justly and faithfully before the face of our God in our day-to-day lives, and how we can enter into worship that is pleasing to Him because He tells us in Scripture that it is.
Yeah, I think, you know, isn't that what, as Christians, as those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus and have entered into a saving relationship with Him and our God, isn't that something our soul longs for and calls out for? And because that's so, you know, we get to mine the Scriptures to see what God says for us and to us about how He can provide for us a sure and steadfast anchor for our souls. And of course that's from Hebrews chapter 6. And he's explaining that and holding that out, that sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. He's holding that out as an assurance for Christians through God's covenant promises and faith, from Abraham. Well, we would say beginning with Adam, from Abraham to Noah, or from Noah, Abraham, David, New Covenant, from all of these unfolding covenants in Scripture, coming to its climax, to its fullness and completion in the New Covenant. And that's what we have, and that's what we want to develop. And of course, as you could probably see, there's a lot there to unpack and a lot there to dig into. That's going to be very, very beneficial for us and for anybody willing to listen and take the time to cultivate this. It's going to be beneficial for your faith and for your life. And I think hopefully we've given a good teaser and taste test for the things that we want to talk about and the things that we want to get into in a deeper way. We've kind of given a high altitude flyover of some of these things, but hopefully it was helpful and will leave you wanting to come back for a little bit more and for something that's a little bit deeper as well in our next episode. So with that being said, I do want to just kind of preview our next episode, where we'll get into some of these things. Our next episode is going to be focusing in a bit more on trying to define what is covenant theology. I think, you know, as conversations like this, it's always helpful to define terms and to get specific. And so we want to talk about that a bit. How do we define it, covenant theology? And along with that, what are some useful categories to have in mind, to have developed in your own mind, so that we can understand covenant theology better, and also we can recognize maybe some unhelpful categories and theologies that really aren't warranted by Scripture. And along with that, there can be ditches anytime you're developing a theology. You know, because we're human and we're sinful and we see through a glass darkly, you know, we're prone to error as well. And so it is helpful to know, especially because covenant theology is a theology with a history, it's helpful for us to look back and see where have the ditches been in the past, and where can, well, where will they likely be as we develop and cultivate these things in our discussion. And so those are some of the things that are interesting to me and I think helpful for me to think through, and I think it'll be helpful for other people. And we want to zero in on that on the next episode.
That's right. I think of what the Apostle Paul said sometimes when he said, this is what the Lord said. And then sometimes he'll say, this is what I think, you know, in way of application. Uh-huh. And the Apostle Paul was being careful about that, that there are things where we try to bridge the gap and we say, reasoning from what Scripture says and the greater truth of Scripture, we reason to the lesser application, but we can't be dogmatic about it. So I have that same sensitivity. I want to hold out those things that God says absolutely, and that we can know, and that mean the same thing for everybody. And then there may be secondary questions or applications of, well, we think this would be the most consistent way of looking at this, but we're not dogmatic about that. And I do think that that's a helpful kind of protection. It also guards against ego or against wanting to get human praise. You know, our intent is to want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, where even the Lord Jesus talks about the Old Testament example, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so when we talk about New Covenant theology, we're talking about exalting the Lord Jesus, lifting him up. Another thing I want to really emphasize as we get into the meaning of New Covenant theology is what Jesus is doing now. Mm-hmm. Beyond our eyes, what we cannot see, but by faith, as the writer of the Hebrews talks about the permanent things. And that's a part of that transition out of Old Covenant to New Covenant, that there is a stronger revelation and consciousness of what the Lord Jesus is doing by faith in heaven now, and how covenant relates to us today in the way we live, in the way we raise our children, the way we go to worship together, the way that we are salt and light in a dark world of sin that still exists.
Yeah. You know, we often do this. We say we're going to end our conversation and you say something that sparks something else.
yeah,
and then, and
right.
then we end up talking for like 20 more minutes, but
yeah, can't do that on here.
But something you said, actually did spark something that I've been thinking about, and hopefully we can bring in at some point. But the fact that the new covenant, while it builds upon, you know, the covenant progression, it is not something that goes back to previous things. It is something that builds upon, but then progresses. And it doesn't go in reverse, you know, so we're not reinstating earlier times and things. We're building upon them, but like a flower opening, you know, it blooms and blossoms into its full bloom, and you wouldn't expect it then to go back to its bud, to a previous time in its bloom. That's a similar, you know, similar thing that we're saying with covenant theology. The new covenant perfects the gospel. The gospel is present throughout the old covenant, but the new covenant brings it to its fullness, brings it to its permanence as well. And I think that's a very significant point that we'll have to develop in a future episode.
Well, that illustration you just gave is the theme of the epistle or the oracle of the Hebrews.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. The epistle of the covenant. Okay, so I think that we have done what we set to do, and I think it's probably time to sign off and say goodbye. We're glad you joined us for our inaugural episode of New Covenant Conversations podcast. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation, enjoyed this episode. If you have, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It helps to boost our visibility for folks who are maybe searching for good quality theological content and who might have a particular interest in this particular topic as well. So give us a rating. Reach out to us on our Facebook page at NC Convo, and then check out our website www.ncconvo.com. That's www.ncconvo.com. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time. Until then, bye.
Yeah, we're thankful for everybody who tuned in, and we hope that you'll come back. We hope that this initial discussion has been something that you find edifying and helpful. We want you to encourage your family and friends to be a part of this in this journey, because we do consider it to be an ongoing application of our faith in the Christian life. And you'll hear me very often sign off with a doxa theo. If you can figure that out. If not, maybe in the future we'll tell you what it means.
Sounds good. All right, Dad, good talking to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Okay, bye.
Bye.